Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinsettia Sprewell, and I am so elated that you have decided to be with me on this evening. How are y'all doing? God bless you on today. I just want to say that I hope and I pray that all of you have been having a wonderful and a very blessed week thus far, and I pray that you have been seeing the success and glory of everything that you have been asking God for to come into full fruition. I know that for myself, I'm so excited about the things of God. Right now, I couldn't be more elated at what I am seeing, amen, at this point in time in my life. You know, it takes just those little things that you will start to see. And I was thinking about how how the Lord was dealing with me about being under an open heaven. Now, y'all might have heard me talk about this before, because the first person I ever heard really kind of talk about it was Dr. Takeda Williams. And she talked about being under an open heaven and how when you're under an open heaven, how everything just seems to work for you. And she was talking about how it just flood is just raining on you and you're getting saturated and soaked, amen, in the things of God. So I just want to say that for you, it may not seem like right now at this moment in your life that you are seeing the things that you really want to see. But remember, I talked about this year, how it's going to be a power year, how we're going to be running, amen, in the races. And I'm starting to see a lot of pastors and a lot of other ministers talk about how things are shifting, how it's a change. It's just too much has happened, amen, over the course of the last month or two, that we're going to see this major shift and this major change when it comes to ministry and people and work and place and community and everything that's happening in homes. It's so much happening, y'all. It's so many folks. I hate to say this, and it's a terrible thing, because we already have a high divorce rate in the United States, right? But we have so many folks that are getting divorced, couples. I'm talking about celebrity couples that are getting ready to get divorced, because folks thought they loved those people. They thought they was in love with them folks. They thought that that was the one. But then they had to sit at home for a month or two with them, and they realized, you really not the person that I thought you were. You ain't the person I really want to be with. And so now there's been a change of heart. And now folks, it's a lot of breaking up, and they talked about the sky rate with domestic violence and stuff like that. And I don't promote any, especially not no domestic violence. And I feel like if you're in a relationship and you see it going left, just let go of the relationship, change gears, you know, and refocus. Or maybe you guys need to separate and then be able to come back. That's an option as well. You know, sometimes you don't just have to throw in the towel on the situation or a thing. You kind of just kind of play it by ear, right? That's why they say separate. Sometimes you got to separate yourself and you find out. But, yeah, this is really putting a lot of people into a lot of tough situations. And they're finding out that things aren't as easy as they projected them to be or thought they would be. And a lot of, like I said, businesses and ministries and churches, they have been totally shut down. And now they've got to rebuild too, because they're not going to be in the place that they were. You know, they're not going to have the same financial stability. A lot of ministries, I hear they're complaining, they're taking a hit right now because they don't have the resources and the money to sustain. And what they do have, a lot of them are living off the savings, and then they still have their faithful tithe payers, but people aren't giving. You know, when you're in front of folks, it's easier for them to give than when you asking somebody to give and they watching a bunch of other ministries on the internet. So I'm just saying, it's going to be a lot of change. It's going to be a big difference. We don't know. It's like we've never experienced this before. It's like pulling everything back and then now everybody come back out. Now let's see where the chips fall. Like they say, where the chips fall, where they may. Let's see where we're going to be at. So you have to start to evaluate. But, you know, I just feel like right now, through all the havoc and everything that's happened, try to put yourself in the best situation as possible. Try to put yourself in where you think that you need to be. I'm serious, y'all. I've been talking about this, and I can't express this enough, because if you ever was going to do anything, this is the hour. This is the time. I'm excited about the conference, women's conference, Turning Point Conference that I'm having. It's going to be in Cocoa Beach, Florida, and that's going to be May 22nd, 23rd, and the 24th. Concluding, that'll be Sunday evening at 7 p.m. But the reason I brought that up is because we have a specialist, a credit repair lady coming in, and her name is Dr. Regina Littles. And what Regina does is she breaks everything down. She does her thing in a specific way, but she gets you into a place and a position to, if it's anything that you're desiring to have, whether that's a home, a new vehicle, a fresh start with your credit, whatever it is, she sets up a strategic plan with you to be able, and I'm excited with, she's got a special package. She's going to be working with the clients and those just for the workshop. So if you feel like this is the time, this is the hour right now that you want to see a change in your life, whether that's financially, give you some different type of stability in your life, this is the time that you want to do it. And I'm excited about what's about to happen and what's about to take place. So I just want you all to get excited about the things of God and where we are going and where we are headed, because this is a new season. This is a new day. We're going to see so much happen in such a little short amount of time. And I'm prophesying right now because I'm telling y'all, a lot of people don't see it. They think it's just going to be business as usual. But I promise y'all, it's going to be big business. When we come out of this, it's big business. That ain't going to be big business no more. It's going to be people that was little business. They ain't going to be little no more. They're going to be stepping out with the giants. You're going to start, it's going to be a changing, as they say, a changing of the guard. We're going to see this whole thing. God has shaken up the world. He has shifted the foundations. He is pulling down kings and he's raising them up. I'm telling you, he's putting people in place and he's pulling folks down. God is not playing. He's not playing at all. And people better get a hold to what the things of God, and know when you start to see things happen like this on this type of grand scale, that there is something else that's happening behind the scenes. And that's God. That's him moving. They say it's moving and things shaking, and that's what's happening. And it's like a rumbling. Amen. I can feel it. You know, when I can sense it. I know that it's going to be a major difference. I'm telling you, we're gonna have some major game changers. Some things is going to happen and we've never seen before. And that's why I said, with the miracle signs and wonders, this is the hour where I'm feeling like when Jesus told Peter to go down and get the money out the fish's mouth and to pay for what? He said, go down there and pay. Because, see, they tried to trick Jesus up. Remember when they asked him, do you guys pay tribute? Is it good to render unto Caesar? And the Lord told him, he said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. He said, but give God what belongs to God. And the Lord was very firm about that. And he said, and take that and go pay them tithes. Go pay them taxes, Peter, so they can know that we live by the land of the law. And so Jesus understood, and he set an example for us so that we can understand what it is that we're supposed to do in regard to dealing with the law of the land. I hope that makes sense to you all, what I'm saying. So you just got to get into a place where you really understand the things of God and where we're at. And I just don't think that we're getting it. I think the folks get an idea, but they really not getting what's happening. They're just thinking, oh, we're in a lockdown. Oh, we're in quarantine. Oh, we're going through social distancing. Oh, this is just something we never seen before. But they're not really getting behind what's really happening and the fact that it is God Almighty allowing this thing to happen for a specific reason and a time. Now, why would this happen right now? Because when the Lord is telling his people that he wants them to do something at a certain time, he wants you to do it at a certain time. I want y'all to get that. It sounds so simplistic. But when the Lord wants you to do something at a certain time, he wants you to do it at a certain time. And anybody know about anything about the Lord, he's very strategic. He is a very strategic and an orderly person. And if you know anything about him, if you ever read your word and you study, if you look at how he talked about when he told Noah to build the ark, the specifics, when he told them to make the ark for the covenant, when he told them to build out and talk to the high priest and was telling them about the garments and even the mixes and the oils and the spices of what they should use, he was very specific. He's very strategic. And that's why we have the beautiful things that we have and the raw resources that we have that in the land, because God, he created it all before we even came into existence. It was his thoughts and his process that came up with it. And we just the reapers and the beneficiaries of these things, but it's all the gift of God, everything that we have. And the Bible talks about how he gives power, man. He gives man power to get wealth. The Lord says, I give man power to get wealth. Not you. I do. So I just want y'all to understand, to really get into the things of God. Really understand the things of God. And really understand where we at right now. Because this is not going to be like this always. It's not. And you got to understand, it's not going to be like that always. So I don't know if you guys have been following me and getting your Bible and really understanding. And I just really, sometimes I feel like, where do I really want to go? So I be praying about different things and just asking the Lord where I'm at. So I'm going to go ahead and prepare about that. I'm going to just get my word, and I'm got a little prepare of what I'm going to say on today, because I think we need to stretch our faith and really get into a place where we really are understanding the things of God. And I think that it's a time and a season, as they say, such as this. They say it's a time and it's a season such as this. Things and times and seasons we have never seen, amen, before. And everybody's preaching and everybody's talking about it, but they're really not understanding where we are right now. So I'm just a prophet. I'm just in the wilderness. I'm just crying out loud, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, as he stated when he told them to come out. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Lord, he was really trying to tell them what to do, how to do it, and the Lord was really trying to put my word over here. The Lord was really trying to get people into a place. People don't understand that Jesus was everything to the people in an economic standpoint. Now, when I get to talking about just from a scholarly perspective to get you to understand that in Jesus' day, they did not have what we consider medical programs. They didn't have health care. So they did a lot of holistic, and they thought they was above the curve at the time. But they did a lot of, you got to go back to the Egyptians and the embalming and how they treated with medicines, and they used a lot of herbs, right? Because they had things that was in the land way back then, such as like what they call it, opium. They said that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. So it's different things and herbs in the earth that people were using way back. We're talking about 4,000 years ago. So with the Lord, you're talking about 3,000 years back. I mean, well, before him in Egypt's time, you're talking about 3,000 to 4,000 years back. But they were able to make makeup. Did you not know that the pharaohs used eyeliner? They actually had eyeliner with pencil back then. That's why we see that with those pictures and everything we see with the pharaohs, those are actual depictions because of the mummies and how the mummies were mummified and all of the hieroglyphs that were left behind. So they were able to see really how these people lived in everyday life for real. So it was no joke for them. They really was living that lifestyle. They had the big crowns and things, not crowns, because the headdresses, I should say, because they don't use crowns, but they had the big headdresses, and they had the golden staffs with them. They were like rods, you know, like a cane, but they were made, they dressed their cane. It was basically like a cane, but they were taller than a cane, and they would dress them and wrap them up in gold, and they would put other colors and bands around them. They were even, the Egyptians were even the first ones to put a wig on, a headdress. If you go and look at them, they were wearing wigs. They were wearing braided hair back then. They braided the hair. So this is nothing new, you know. And the Bible talks about how some things is not new unto man because it's already been done before. And so, as I was saying, they were wearing eyeliner back then. They were painting their face and wearing lipsticks and had created all those things out of oils and other things that they were using and had perfumes. Some of the stuff probably would even be better today because the consistency of the materials that they were using than what we are using today. We know, I remember when I was a kid, I talk about a lot of times back in the day, different things. But I wasn't around to see the milkman. I saw the juice man. The juice man used to even kind of have some milk on his. But y'all experienced the milkman? No, they said, now I wasn't, and this probably in my granddad day, But this is, we're seeing this right now, where the doctors are coming back to your house. But they used to have doctors to come, and the doctor would do the rounds and come to the people. I didn't never see that. But that's interesting to me. And also the milkman. Now, I think we could use the milkman today. I don't care. Hey, I got my hand raised. Give me the milkman. I'll take that. Sign me up for the milk order. I'll take that. And the milks, the milk looks so good. It wasn't like in the carton. It would be in a glass container. And they deliver the milk to you. And I don't know how they do it. Kind of like remind me of the ice cream truck. Yeah, they had an ice cream truck. And the kids, I thought that was so cute. Now, I know we did have that in Milwaukee. I don't know if they still do the ice cream truck. But they have an ice cream truck here in Arizona. I don't know if they still doing the ice cream trucks no more or not, you know, because times are changing. Everything is changing. I was talking to my son about how we used to communicate and how things have really changed. And my son, he was laughing because it's my baby boy, and I was telling him we had to have beepers. And with the beepers, you'll see me. If you really wanted somebody, you start blowing them up, put 911, 911, 911. And that was a way for them to call you back because they had to put the 911 in, y'all. And then with the 911, you see it's emergency, a callback. And then when you want to talk to folks, you would call them on the house phone. Folks, I don't know. I don't need no house phone. House phone? What you got a house phone for? They don't believe in house phones no more. They don't. They think that's irrelevant. They just hit me up on my cell and get me that way. I don't need you to be. I don't want nothing to do with no other landline services, as they call them. So times have really changed, and times have really switched, and it's just something how I can view those changes in my day, okay? And it's funny how I think back. Do anybody remember the I don't know why I'm going this direction today, but maybe just to talk about it before we get into the timing. Got a little bit for one before we hit midnight. But anybody remember pay phones? I'm serious. My granddad in Wisconsin, bless his heart, my granddad Cecil Sprewell, Spruill, he said, I'm Spruill. And so my granddad, he had an auto shop. Hardest working man I ever seen in my life, my granddad. The man died with grease underneath his head nails because he worked every day. I never seen my granddaddy ever take off. I just can't remember. I never did. I've never seen him take off work. He get up every morning singing in that mirror, singing songs, praising God, getting dressed to go to work. Amen. And my granddad get ready to go to work, and he go down to his business every day. Never seen it. I never seen him take off. And so it reminds me how they used to have the billboards. He had a billboard in back of his sign, in back of his shop. They used to even give him, I think, a little portion of the money just to be able to have it show up there. And then also, it was a pay phone that was in back of the shop, and that's what kind of made me go that direction, because in the back of the shop, there was a little pay phone, and then with the pay phone, granddaddy, people would go in the back of the shop to use the payphone to make calls. All right, it is the midnight hour, and I pray that you all are happy and excited about the things of God. This is a time, this is a season, it's a great time to be alive. Amen. And I keep talking about the old folks, and I don't know why I'm going back. And they say when you get older, you start thinking about your life. I guess that's where I'm at, y'all. Just pray for the prophetess. And so, you know, because the times have changed, and so many things is different now, and everything's about social media, and everything is about the get up and go. But, you know, it reminds me how we love the old days and the old times, because we were able to enjoy each other. We was able to enjoy life, and everything is all about talking to somebody by way of not seeing them. But I'm a very communicable person, so when I talk to folks, I be wanting to see them. I want to hear their voice. I want to see their face, because I want to see your reactions on what you're saying to me. So I don't want you to just throw me and some random saying, and you really upset, and I can't see your reactions. And so that's what happens in society today. Everybody's on this social media kick, and they're talking to each other by way of the computer or the way of phone or texting. And I was like, no, call me. Because and what's so funny is that they end up having to call you anyway to clarify what they're trying to say, because a lot of stuff get misconstrued through text or through the computer when you send them a message, and it ain't even what you said. That's the funny thing about it, because it is nothing what you said. And you're like, wait a minute, what is this? And you have to call the person, and you got to get it straightened out, what you're trying to convey, what you're trying to say. And so I just think, y'all, hold on. Bear with me now. So what I'm saying is that if you think about all the things that you've been through in your life, how things used to be for you, that's what I'm asking you. Think about your times and what you did when you grew up, you know, and how things were. And reminisce and enjoy those times, enjoy those seasons in your life. Don't be ashamed. I was listening to Michael Jordan and his documentary. In his documentary, he said they brought it up. You know how people laugh about something. He said it was kind of embarrassing to see that in his documentary. That was his words, verbatim. That's what he said. His mother had let me get it right now. I guess he used to write letters to his mom, and he had to buy stamps. And so he had to call his mom and tell her to send him money to buy his stamps so he could send the letters off to his mom to let her know how he was doing and the things that he needed. So, and the only way he said that he could do that to get his mama to get those things to his mom was to write those stamps and to write letters, and his mom had to pay for the stamps, and he wrote the letters and he would send it to his mom. Well, it reminds me of the same thing. When my brother was off to college, we didn't have any way, so what he had to do was call home on the landline phone. And it was like collect calls at the time. Do y'all remember that you couldn't call out of state, and there used to be a fee for that? No, I'm serious. Do you remember that when back in the day, like when you will make a call to somebody about, let's see, if I called you, okay, I'm in Arizona, and say you are in Texas. If I called you, that was considered a long distance call, and the money used to tally up. It wasn't no like we got right now, all toll-free, and every you call out, you know what I'm saying, free calling for every state and stuff like that. Now we got to set it, they got to set up, thank God they did bring about a change. Now you can call any state in it, and anything that would be a tally or charge is usually if you're calling out the country. But and I'm telling you, when in my day, my brother, when he had to call home, it was a fee for him just to call from Alabama to Wisconsin. And that was like a long-distance call. And I'm like, a long distance call? Thank God we don't have those long distance calls no more, okay? They, you know, a lot of it just don't make sense to me. And I really want to say, I'm not a big reform on the prison system or nothing like that, but I'm just thinking about, you know, how we have moved, we have evolved, and times have changed, right? And we know that things are set up a certain way because it's a system, it's a way of making money, and it's game, right? So when you think about it right now, for people that got loved ones that's in prison and they are locked up or they are incarcerated, why can't they have a cell phone? I mean, I'm just saying, even if it was like a structured phone setting where they can have a cell phone, but they have to, those phones, if like it could be a system phone and those phones shut down after a certain time, but they can have a phone up to probably the time they go to sleep. You know, they cut the lights off them in jail at 9 or something, and the lights go down. I don't, no matter if they sitting in there in the jail reading their book or whatever they're doing, them lights going off, and it's locked down after a certain time. You know, they can't stay up late, no way. So why don't you just shut the phone system down and let them talk instead of just making it a burden on the families and the aunties and the mothers and the cousins and the wives to make them have to keep paying for these collect calls when you know it don't have to be no collect calls because we have moved on in the system where we do have cell phones, and it's such an advancement, cell phones. Yes, the prisoners are sneaking the phones in, but it's not ethical. I'm talking about where there is no restrictions and it's straight up and it's legitimate, right? So, you know, it's things that folks do and things we do in society because we want to continue to make things be a burden or a crutch to other people. And it's really not affecting, it's not such an effect on the prisoner or the inmate per se, but it is upon the family member or the loved one that is taking care of them and the one that's putting the canteen and the one that is putting in the visits and that sort of thing. So I just think that we as a society, amen, just need to do things right. Have you ever heard when they say just do things right, decently, and in order? You know what I'm saying? Instead of trying to make things be such a burden to make it hard for somebody just because you can, or you can make their life difficult, or you can make their life hard. I'm not into all that. I think people, yes, they have to serve their time for what they're doing. That's why they're there. But yet and still, let's make sense out of things that we're doing that can make sense, if that makes sense. I hope that's what I'm trying to convey, and you guys are getting what I'm saying. So just going back, before we get ready to go into Word, and I'm old school, right? So, you know, I'm just talking about technology. I don't know why I'm going this way, but okay. So even when you think about it right now, a lot of pastors, I'm seeing them, they are getting their Bibles, and they go to where? They're reading their scriptures off of their phones. They're reading their scriptures off of their iPads, or they're reading their scriptures, you know, on other devices, you know, and they bring that to the church. Well, I think that we need to be old school because it's nothing like the Bible. The Bible is one of the most historical written accounts that we could ever have. The Bible is such a great historical tool. We will never have anything like it. It's one of the great. It has some of the greatest things that are documented, such as locations. You can find kings. You can find people that lived in places, things that they wrote and they said and talked to other various kings. We can find locations like Tyre, and, you know, even they can pinpoint down a spectrum of where they think Sodom and Gomorrah was. So it's like it has so many accounts to it of telling you things about people and places. It's mind-blowing. Now, how do you think we know about the Queen of Sheba, that she really existed? It's because we can account her in the biblical texts to show that she did go to Solomon, and that Solomon really existed, and that he was one of the most wisest. They say God said he was the wisest man to ever walk the earth, meaning he had the most knowledge, and that's why you read his accounts of his wisdom and his parables, because he was so knowledgeable. He was just a smart man, just like one of the smartest men you ever seen. And it reminds me how Jesus talks about John the Baptist. He said he was the greatest prophet. That's what Jesus said. Jesus called John the Baptist. He said he was the greatest prophet. And it's funny because they were cousins, y'all. They were cousins. And when they told Jesus about John and how that he was beheaded, because his disciples were actually kind of getting in conflict and talking to the Lord, like, did you know, how do you feel, you know, about they're doing the same thing with baptism? And the Lord said, hey, I don't have a problem with what they're doing as long as they're doing it for the right reason and for my Father. He said, I don't mind them doing it. And so people had to really get adjusted to this. Why did this happen to John? John, I don't know who could have did it. I'm serious. I don't know who could have went in the wilderness and had wrapped with a hairy garment from animals and sit and eat wild honey and locusts. I don't know who can do that. That's fasting. And he lived like that. That was his lifestyle. That's why God called him one of the greatest prophets, because a prophet has to go to a wilderness place. A prophet has to go to a place that's remote. A prophet has to go through that season where they feel alone or maybe even abandoned. All prophets, every great prophet has to go through it. They got to. It's almost mandatory. And so John lived that life. That was his lifestyle. And the people came out to the wilderness to be baptized of him. But he was a great one. He was a great, dynamic preacher of the gospel, of the word. He was preaching the gospel before the gospels were even written. You know, remember he talked about, told the Lord how he didn't feel he was worthy to even tie his shoelaces, because he knew how great Jesus was. And if you see those scenes of, oh, my God, have you ever seen those scenes where you see Jesus when he's walking by the Sea of Galilee and he's coming up to John and you see him in his glory? And a lot of times they have him depicted with the hood over his head and he's walking and you just see he is just beautiful. He is just gorgeous. And he comes and he tells John to baptize him. And when the Lord came out the water, I was just talking about that the other day, how when he came up, the dove of the Holy Ghost ascended on him, descended, came down on him like a dove. The Holy Ghost did. And that reminds me, I love, like, when I get to talking about the olden days and the old times, it reminds me, it seems like we had a more sacred relationship with the imagery and the things of God. You know, we've got churches right now where everybody got they self posted up and the billboard, a picture of them. But when I was going to church when I was a kid, we had a lot of symbols, and you knew you was in a church. You didn't get confused if you was in a church or you was in a club. You knew you was at the church. The lights wasn't dim. It wasn't black walls. You know, it wasn't these seating. You ain't see all these lights, and then they got to have all these. Right now, you got all these antics with all these moving images and back of the pastor. I don't need that. Can you show me Jesus? Because when I was a kid, I used to go to church with my granddaddy, and we looked up at the ceiling, and we seen, ha, Shanda the Messiah. We seen Jesus coming out the water, images of John the Baptist baptizing him. When you went to church, it was like you were going to a Catholic church. They had all kind of scenes of the disciples, and you had scenes of Mary Magdalene and scenes of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you seen John, and you seen angels. They had depiction of angels in the church, and you knew you was in the house of God because you could feel the glory of God, the power of God that was in the place to let you see the presence. And so folks think that now, because they put on a little show with a little praise team, that now we're supposed to feel God's glory and move on from that. And the pastor get up and ain't halfway said nothing and ain't taught and ain't did no teaching, did a lot of talking and no teaching and no substance. And when you go back to ask people, we talk about they can tell you the message, but can't tell you what it was about. Okay, I'm done. Well, I just, you know, I'm a studious of the word. I believe that when I go to the house of God, that's cue you got up and praise dance. That's cue you got up and y'all had a praise team. But I want to hear the unadulterated word of God. And I loved my Pastor Strong because she would preach. I'm talking about she would get up and she would have and she would do the reading and she would speak with Thus Said the Lord. And that's what a lot of old-time pastors would do. They would have their scripture. They would have their word. They didn't have like they a politician and pull out a paper and read off the paper and the whole sermon was on the paper. No, because they had the power of God in their life, and they had the word in their heart, and they would come out with the word and preach and teach you the gospel, and you knew you was in church. See, we don't have no feeling. We know we're in a congregation. We know that we've been assembled, but it's almost like a group. It's like a what they call that. You're in an assembly, but you feel like more like you're in an organization or a club, I'll say it that way, than you are as far as church in the house of God. So the Lord had to break some of that mess up and tell them, y'all not serving in my name. Guess who y'all serving in? Y'all serving in y'all own name. Y'all serving in y'all self. I'm not getting no glory out of this. Y'all playing with me like I am getting some glory. But at the end of the day, y'all not giving me no glory. Y'all got vain self-gratification, and y'all just doing what y'all want to do because y'all want to make yourself look good for what you're doing. And I think that when we get to a place where we realize that God, to really give God the glory, I think that a lot of times people don't understand what it takes to get into that place with the Lord, and that is to understand who God is and why he has allowed these things to happen for us. And so I just want to get y'all excited about the things of God, to get excited about what's about to happen, what's about to take place, and I can't say it enough, and I just want you to know that no matter what you're going through, I'm here to exhortate you and let you know that no matter what you see, God is going to give you and let you go beyond. Amen. You're going to go beyond the things that you see. You're going to stretch beyond. God is enlarging territories. The Lord is allowing people, amen, to get in position. Have y'all even started with some of the things that you want to do? I know we have a good game in talking about it, but have you started activating any of the things that you are set out to do? Amen, because this is a what? Power year. 2020 is a power year, meaning that you're going to be thrust and pushed in position into things. It's going to be miracles. It's going to be signs. They're going to be wonders. They're going to be things that's going to happen miraculously in your life that you never expected to happen, because we are in a season and a time that God is about to thrust, meaning push, instantaneously you into your wealthy place, where you get enlargement of your territory. Let me tell you something. When Joshua was handed over, amen, the mantle from Moses, and he had to go in, and he sent the spies in the land, and they came back and they said, we are as grasshoppers under them. They are giants above us. And they marched around the city walls, and they said, we are not going to let up. We are going to stand our ground. And Joshua said, listen, we have grieved Moses. We grieved him for 30 days. Now we got to press on. We've got to move on. There's going to be some grieving for 30 days. But after this grieving process is over, now we've got to move on. We've got to get ready to get in position. We've got to get ready to get in our wealthy place. And these walls of Jericho are going to come down. And they marched around the wall. And the Lord told them to march around that wall 7 times. And on the 7th time, shout with a great shout with the voice of triumph, and the walls will fall down. And that's exactly what happened. And they went in and overthrew the city and took the spoils of the land for themselves, what God had told them to do. And Joshua was prepared to be in the land of Canaan in his wealthy place, a place that they felt was known for the Jebusites. This was the Canaanites. Those were the Hittites, and the ones that they felt that this was their land. But God said, not so. This belongs, this land I have given unto the Hebrews. And even God is so strategic, he even told Moses the geographical areas that we can still, as I said, point to right now. You can go to your Bible and look at those areas that God had mapped out. He said, for everybody would get a portion, but the Levites wouldn't get any. Do y'all know why? And do you know who the Levites are? The Levites are of the 12, but they are the priests. The Levites were the ones to serve in the temple and into the house of God. And God was so good to his people, he didn't even make them serve. After, I think he said you didn't even have to serve after, I got to go back, but I'll make sure, but I think it's around 55. So after like 55 years old, you know how we got retirement at 60? Well, God understood the principle of having to have a rest, and that your duties are up and that you are not bounded to work forever. And so God had made it that it will be 55 or so, around 55, 58. I have to go back. I can tell y'all, and I'll come back, and I can just kind of throw that back at you. But it was around 55, I believe, at that time, and then you will be done serving your duties, and you would pass it on to the younger people under you, and you wouldn't have to serve in the house of the Lord no more. But the Levites were the ones that were the priests, okay? You even had Aaron's sons that were serving in the house of the Lord. And God said, sir, put those things separate, those things that are holy and those things that are not. And they were going into the house of the Lord behind the veil drunk, and they came out. They had to put, do y'all remember? They have to put the rope on with the bells on the leg to make sure that they still could come out. Because if they wasn't righteous and they went behind that veil with the uncleanness, they was coming out dead. So they had to shake the bell to let them know we are yet still alive in here. And some of them didn't come out with shaking the bell with no sound because they went into the house of God drunk, okay? They had been drinking and went in the house of God. And that's why, I'll almost start preaching somewhere. You got some pastors that's in the house of God drunk and they dropping dead. But, oh, my God, I ain't going to go there. But what you talking about? Prophets, are they literally drunk? No, they drunk and in their mess. They drunk in the things of their lifestyle. They drunk and playing in the house of God. I mean, literally playing in the house of God. Oh, I can't wait till I get on TV. I'm going to tell these folks something. They don't upset and piss me off playing in the house of God, playing jump rope in the house of God. I seen a pastor playing in the pulpit with a jump rope. I said, look at this clown in here in the house of God on the altar playing jump rope. He better be glad God did not kill him dead right there because that don't make no kind of sense. Have no reverence for the house of God and had the audacity to have a robe on. Are you serious? Are you serious? We going to play in the house of God now. We don't give God no reverence. No, 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 nope, nope, nope. The prophet is, I'm going to help y'all out. I'm going to help y'all out, you know. I'm going to help y'all out. I'm going to help y'all out. So some things I haven't said, and I'm kind of, you know, but they say hold your tongue and bridle your tongue and, you know, wait your time. But, you know, they making me come out a little early, you know, as the Lord told his mother, you know, it's not my time to turn this water into this water into wine. But his mother had wisdom. She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. She knew that the Lord loved her that much that no matter him, even though it was not his time, his seasons for miracles to take place and happen, he yet did it for the love of his mother. And I'm going to go back to something I said earlier. I kind of just touched on it, but I'm going to go back to it just for a minute. And then we're going to go into scripture before we get ready because the time is winding down. Do you remember what I was saying about how the Lord was their health care? Okay, so they didn't have formal doctors like we do where you could go sit down and you could find out. They didn't have the equipment. Just think how old their medical system was, how historical it was. They didn't really have anything. It just really worked off herbs and things like that. You know, a lot of folks died at an early age. The great president, Abraham Lincoln, lost two of his kids. They died early. And back then, your kids didn't live long. People didn't live long. People died early. People died in their 30s and 40s because they just didn't have the vaccines. They didn't have the medicines. You know, people died of mumps, measles, chicken pox. And we're talking about this coronavirus now, but it was I was talking to an older cousin of mine, and he was telling, you know, we used to have the whooping cough. You remember, you know what that is? You know, you remember the whooping cough? I said, no, I remember the whooping cough now. He's like, when we was a kid, because he's much older, you're much older than me, much older. And he said, we used to have the whooping cough, and that would kill you. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, and that would kill you. And then they had other things like the mumbles and measles and stuff, and you get that stuff would kill you. And we had to live through that where, you know, we had ration out times too. I remember this when I was a kid. We could only get so much, you weren't only allowed to get so much, he said, he tried to tell me about paper products, but he was just trying to tell me in such a way. And I said, wow, I said, that almost sounds like the Great Depression. And he was like, it wasn't the Great Depression, but it was something similar to it, you know, and he was just telling me, you know, reminiscing on his day and time. So back what I'm saying about Jesus, how they did not have any health care. He was the health care system. He was absolutely healing people. He was the doctor. He was the physician. He was the surgeon. He was the dentist. He was helping people with they mouth. He was the making sure they had went and could see. He was opening up people's eyes. He was opening up the people, the ENT, like they say, ENT. He was opening up people's ears. He was doing so much that they wanted to throng the Lord. Do you remember when he had to go preach in the boat? After that, they talk about how he went in the Sea of Galilee and he had to preach to the people. And the people was, he had to run out even of the area off a mountain where he was because the people said they were going to seize him. Lord have mercy. They were going to capture him. They were going to make him become the king of Jerusalem. And he said, no, his kingdom was not here on the earth. His kingdom was above. It wasn't beneath. Pontius Pilate came before him and said, what is truth? He looked at him like, you're looking at truth. Is it true that this, you're not of this world? Don't you hear me talking to you? Don't you know that I can have the authority and power to have you killed? He said, Jesus told him, the only reason why you have the authority and power to kill me is because I'll let you. He said, don't you know I can have tens and thousands of legions of angels to come down here and fight on my behalf right now? I can, my good God of heaven. Jesus told him, said, look, let me tell you something. I don't need y'all to fight for me. Peter, put up that sword. Give me that boy ear off the ground. Let me put it back on his head. You know, for me, that would have been enough. If I would have been the soldier that would have been coming to seize the Lord and capture him, and I would have seen him put somebody's ear back on, I would have been like, bro, I'm out. You know what? Guess what? I'm not even touching this man. That's enough. I've seen it. But they yet still took him in and disrespected him and did the things they did to him. Do they think they're not going to pay for spitting in my Lord's face? Do they think they're not going to pay for putting the crown of thorns, making him bleed from his head? Do they think they're not going to pay for parting his garments, playing dice over his clothes? Do they think they're not going to pay for that? I'm just saying. And then the soldier at the end said, after he pierced his side and nothing but water came out, because he said, I'm the living water. So when he pierced them, water come flooding out. And he said, truly, this was the Son of God. And then it was an earthquake in the land right there. And then dead folks came up out the graves, folks that had been dead for centuries and years and decades come walking up, walking through the city. You starting to see somebody that was dead for 100 years old. They come walking, talking about some, I'm Grandma Lucy cousin, a great grandmama. And here she come walking through the city alive. Oh, Jesus. And then the veil was rent in the temple after the earthquake. And it got so dark, it got pitch black. And the quake and the high priest got scared. And they got shook because they know they had made God angry. Do you know God stayed quiet? He stood still. The angels were weeping and crying as they had to look and they Holy Ghost in them. you got to feel what I'm saying. Was weeping and crying to see Jesus. They begged God to come down. They begged him and said, God, Father, please, please let us help him. Let us go down and stop this. No, don't let him. They cried. They heaven stood still as Jesus was crucified and nailed to the cross, and the earth stood still as the Son of God, the precious Lamb of the Lord and the Holy Ghost, was pierced in his hands and in his feet. And he told Thomas, Blessed are you, because Thomas said, I don't believe it's you. Blessed is your eyes that you able to see me. He said, but truly are the ones who eyes have not seen me and yet believe. That's what the Lord told him and said, take your hand and put it through the holes that are in my hands. And he went, he said, oh, it is you, Lord. And he said, yes, it is I, Jesus, the Son of the living God. Didn't I tell y'all I was going to have to go through this? Yeah, I had 12 and I got betrayed by one that I fed, one that walked with me, one that seen the miracles of the 5,000 and the two loaves of the 5,000 being fed and the two loaves of bread, and that saw the fish be multiplied and watched the miracles, but yet sold me out for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus said, go and do what you're going to do and do it quickly, because I know what you're going to do. And the Bible says that Satan actually entered into, people think that that's metaphorically. No, that's literal. Satan actually entered into him and he became the devil. And he sold out Jesus, the Son of God. He came in the garden and he knew where he was at, and he betrayed him with a kiss. He said, the one that I kiss, that's the rabbi, that's the master, that's him. Then after the devil, being low down dirty dog that he is, that old dragon, that old serpent, after he had used Judas up to all he could get out of him and squeeze the life out of him, the blood out of him, then Judas come back to his senses, and he said, I don't want this money. And he come throw it down in front of priests and the scribes and the elders and said, I don't want no parts of this money. I have betrayed an innocent man. See, his mind came, he came back to himself. Himself. Satan had come out, if Satan had used him up, he come back to himself, and he said, I have betrayed the innocent man. I betrayed innocent blood. And the priests and the scribes, they said, we can't take this money. Go bury it in what they call the blood cemetery. Said, we can't touch this blood money. You want to know the real definition of blood money? That was blood money. When he sold out Jesus, that was blood money. And they said, we don't want that. And that was a lot of money back then. I don't know the equivalent to today. Society, but believe me, that was like having thousands of dollars. Believe that. Because I can tell you for a fact it was like having thousands of dollars. Because remember when the woman, the elderly woman came in and she came in and put a pence. They say it's called a pence. And I looked it up and it ain't even a penny. It was like a pence was like having a half of a penny. It's like being able, it was like having a half a penny. And that was all she had. She gave it, all she had was a half a penny, and she put it in as far as her tithes and offerings and what she had. And Jesus watched the elderly woman put that in, and he said, she has given more than anybody in here because she gave all that she did have. And she sacrificed that. And the Lord watched to see who was giving and what they type of spirit they was giving in and that sort of thing. And I'm just telling y'all, I don't know if y'all know, but the Lord was a handsome man. I've seen him. He's very handsome. He's gorgeous. Actually, he's gorgeous. And he had opportunities to do things, if could have done things, because you got to understand, he was like a rock star. I told y'all they didn't have no health care. They wanted to throw him and make him king. Jesus was the man. And so a lot of women was after him. Don't think that he would, come on now, y'all. I'll try to help y'all out. It was a lot of women that was after him, that wanted him, he could have been with. But he was sold out. He knew he had a mission and he had to accomplish it. He had 33 years to accomplish it. That's why he was in the temple preaching to some elderly, some older folks, and some of them knuckleheads he was preaching to at 12 years old, and his mom and them came out. Didn't you know I was about my father's business? excuse me, y'all, because he genuinely was about his father's business. He knew he had 33 years to accomplish what he had to do, and his timing was short. And that's why he told them, like, y'all think that y'all, he said, I lay my life down. Those were his words. He said, I'm not giving, you ain't taking my life. No, see, you got it twisted. You think you taking my life? No, I am surrendering my life to you. Do you know who I can't even, I just don't know how he did it. I'm serious. I'm thinking, all the glory in heaven, the perfection, the beauty, you know, the glassy, the fire. We know his heels because God talks about the mountains of fire in heaven. He said it's mountains. They look like volcanoes. They like amber. You ever know what amber? Look up what the color amber is. But those are the mountains are made like that in heaven. God talked about them, and he talks about, you know, we know that there is a sea of glass before his throne, and we know that Jesus sit next to his father, right? Okay. So he gets to walk around. He's in glory and kingdom of heaven. We know that the flowers sway back and forth and the flowers sing in heaven. We know that the angels are a choir. We know that there are streets actually made of gold there. We know that there are mansions that's made of materials we ain't never seen before. Oh, my Lord. Listen, here, let me tell you something. That place there, you would never want to come back. Pastor Strong said, if I fall out and die, she said, don't bring me back. And she told the girl, she said, that was my former pastor I'm talking about. She said, don't bring me back. She said she don't want to come back. She let her go. Because she had seen some glimpse of heaven, and she had got so excited when she got there, she ain't never want to come back. All right. So I'm just talking and going on here. But let me see where I want to go with this. Y'all bear with me. All right. I'm in Matthew 17 and 20. And it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So there we go with speaking activation, using our mouth to speak those things that are not as though they were, making things happen, moving dead stuff out our way, moving stuff that are mountains, moving hurdles, moving things that are hindrances out our way by using our mouth and our speaking the voice that God has given us in the earth, the power of God. And 21 says, Matthew 17 and 21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be risen up. Here he prophesied. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. These are the tax collectors, y'all. Does not your master pay tribute? Does not Jesus pay taxes, is what they saying. He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? He told him, what you thinking about, Peter? Of whom do the king of the earth, he posed a question. He said, whom do the kings of the earth, now he's talking about who are the kings of the earth, y'all. He's talking about the presidents. He's talking about those that are in charge at the time of the various kingdoms. He says, who do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Or of their own children or of strangers? I'm going to say that again so y'all can get it. He asked him a question. He says, Simon, we know his name, got Jesus called him Simon, it's Peter. It says, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Do they take it of their own children or they take it from strangers? I'm going to explain this in a minute. And Peter said unto him, of strangers, Lord. He said, Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. He said, the children is free. He said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that thou comest up. And when thou hast opened up his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money and take it and give unto them for me and for thee. This is what Jesus said. He said, now listen, you go down there, you're a fisherman. You know, that's what you do. Go down there, the first fish you get, the first fish you pull up, it's going to be some money in there, and you pay them. Not just for me, but pay them for you too. For it's going to be enough. Listen here this guy say. Look, it's enough money. I'm going to supply enough. It ain't even going to be for my debt alone. He said, I'm going to pay your taxes too. See, people didn't even get that. See the prophet, I'm ahead of the game here. See, folks, when they preach that, they talk about Jesus. No, Jesus said, not only am I going to pay my debt, but I'm going to pay your debt too. And that's what God is saying. God said, I'm going to give you more than enough. I'm not only going to supply for you, but I'm going to supply for your household. When I start blessing you, I'm not going to just bless you for yourself. I'm going to bless you so you can bless those around you. And what Jesus was asking him, and the question became, he said, now, do they take custom or tribute of the children or strangers? And I'm going to break that down to y'all, what he was saying. What Jesus was asking them was basically, do the government, are they going to tax their own children or are they going to tax the strangers or the people that are servants under them? And we know that the Jews were considered bound under the Romanarchy of that generation because they were rulers of the Rome were the rulers of the world at the time, and and Jerusalem was under them, and they were subject to being like almost in a sense they slaves, and they had to pay high taxes because the Romans weren't playing; they was overtaxing everybody. And so, what Jesus was asking them, now we know that these are the ones in charge. He said, but are they making us pay higher taxes or are they going to make their own people pay higher taxes? So are they going to make us being strangers, us being the Jews, the Hebrew people, are they going to tax us even harder or are they going to tax their own people, the Romans, even harder? And Jesus said, "Now," and Peter said to the Lord, like, no, nah, Lord, you know they ain't going to tax their own people the way they're going to tax us. Because they feel like we they servants and they got their foot on our neck. So you know they're going to make us pay higher taxes. Jesus said, go ahead, give it to them. He said, let me tell you something. They think we don't pay taxes. We don't honor our word. We not honorable people. He said, you a fisherman. This what you do. You go down there and pull up the first fish you get. He said, it's going to be enough money in there. He said, and the amount you're going to find is going to be enough to cover my taxes. And it's going to be enough to cover your taxes, too. And we're going to be paid up. I'll tell you, Jesus is a bad boy. I'm telling you, he cold, for real. I mean, like, for real. And this is to let you know that they understood where they were. They understood that they were under the Romanarchy and that the Roman society was on their neck. And they understood that they were considered the stranger. They were not the children. They knew the Romans and those of Italy and those that were in the Roman society was considered the children. But they were almost like considered the stepchildren or the bastards. So in terms of the Roman society to them is what I'm saying. And so Jesus understood that here they come with some mess, because let's go back to 24, revisit that just for a few minutes. Sister. And when they were come to Capernaum, that received tribute money came to Peter. Now, these were the tax collectors coming to confront Peter. And I'm going to tell you why they confronted them. Now, I'm going to even get deeper. So to take you even further. The reason why they came to Peter is because you got to understand, Jesus was becoming popular at this time. He's an individual that is gaining a lot of headlight around the entire world, their world at the time. You know, the road to Damascus, all outside of all the areas that he was traveling to, he's starting to gain traction. And they knew that, we know that they did start taking up their own tithes and offerings, because we know that Judas was the money man. Come on. Y'all ain't even with me. Y'all ain't even with me. Judas was the treasurer, y'all. He was the one overseeing. That's why he knew about the money. That's why he could go to the high priest. That's why he understood monies, because he had a mind for money. He had a mind for wealth. He understood what they, he was the one that took care of their expenses and they travel. When they go places, they have enough, because he was the one holding down the funds. And so as they were traveling, they were going around about. Judas was the one that when they wanted to get stuff, he was the person that they would seek, that would pay for all. He was paying the cost of basically the journey and the trips that they took. And he was holding on to the wealth and the money. And if you don't believe me, that's why he got so upset when the woman came in and washed her hair with the expensive oil that she used for Jesus. And he started saying, we could have used that money and we could have put that towards the treasure. And now you don't let her use this expensive oil. We could have sold that, and that could have been part of the church. But you was a lying imp, because all you wanted to do was take the money and then put it for yourself and make sure you have some extra dollars. It ain't had nothing to do about you was thinking about the poor and talking about you wanted to make sure that they, the poor, have something to eat too. You ain't studying them poor folks. No, what you was thinking about was yourself and how you could have came up off that extra that oil money that she don't, you feel was a waste on Jesus. But she getting prepared the Lord for his burial, and you're not even getting it because you didn't understand the times and seasons when the Lord said that in 3 days I'm going to die, but they're going to raise me up again. This temple shall die, and they shall be rebuilt again. He couldn't see none of that for his greed and his selfishness. He was an opportunist. And that's all he could conceive is money and getting wealth. So, with that being said, I just want y'all to understand. See, that's why it's good to read your word, understand your word, be able to explain it and see, really, and understand. That's why you got to know, well, that's just me. I ain't going to go there. But by me knowing history and me being a historian, I can see it in a deep, different viewpoint. So when I do tell you guys and I'm talking to you, I can take you actually to let you live it. I can let you see what they actually lived because I understand the time that they were in. I understand where Jesus was at. I know. I have researched. I have seen. I've put the time in to understand what the day was like in his hour. He was the healthcare system. He was the doctor. He was the ear specialist. He was the eye specialist. He was the dental health. They wanted to seize him, to make him become king, and he had to run, literally run out of crowds and run into to get away, to go into the sea, away from the people, because they wanted to throng him, to keep him. And he had to, they talked about how he had to slip out from the crowds. You read that in the Bible oftentimes. That wasn't just because they tried to kill him, but that was because they were trying to capture him because he was so great. He was popular. He was well known. People started to really know who he was in Samaria and places like that. And he had to Tyre. He knew they knew about him. His name, he was becoming too famous. He was spreading. And the word was getting out. They didn't have to have social media. They didn't have to have a text. They didn't have to have a tweet. They didn't have to have a DM. Honey, the word was spreading. Jesus, this man that healeth, this man don't heal me. This man don't cast the devil out. This man has opened up somebody's eyes. This man has opened up somebody's ears. This man is doing great. This man has fed people. He was the welfare system. He done fed 5,000 people that didn't eat, and he let them go. He said, I'm not going to leave the people starving. And he asked the disciples, where can they find bread? How are we going to find bread to feed all these people? He was just asking the question. He knew what he was going to do. He did it twice. That was a miracle, y'all. That was, he said these miracle signs and wonders will follow them that believe. And that's why we ain't seeing no miracle signs and wonders, because these folks ain't doing nothing. But we need somebody to stand in the land and start manifestations of God. And that's why we've got to get into a place where we understand and we hear and know what time and hour that we're living in. What is the day and where we at? What is the time? What is the season? Hey, listen, I love you. I hope that you enjoyed the show on tonight. It did go quickly, y'all, even it was over an hour. And I'm so happy you have been here with me. Those of you that are coming back listening to the show, I hope and I pray that you have been blessed, amen, by listening to the broadcast on this evening. And I love you, and I just want to pray the blessings of the Lord be upon you this week, that you come back with strong strength and might and power in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. When you come back here, I want to see you next week. Same time, same place. And y'all know here I'm here in the midnight hour crying out for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the love of my life. Amen. He's the lover of my soul, and I love him. This is your number one prophetess called to the nations for this generation. Prophetess Royal Point, Sienna Sprewell, I love you. You be blessed and have a grandeur night.